College Golf Talk is back. Burko and Brentley with you. Conference championships underway. A lot have finished. You're down in the Bayou, Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Big spot for you, my friend. You're doing well. Great to see.
Thank you. No, I feel down in the Bayou. I've got some sort of sinus infection or something, and but I've been powering through. There's no excuses. I'm still upright, and yeah, it's fun. Did a walk and talk with Luke Clanton and Blades Brown, and kind of felt like a revival of sorts with Nick Dunlap and Gordon Sargent playing well early. So maybe some good news for former guys who we talk about every week on College Golf Talk.
Correct. NFL draft underway. Of course, the Jets would go for an Oregon tight end at number 16 because that's what they do. We'll see if Bailey, the safe play instead of Reese with the high ceiling. But this is the year. So tell me.
Do you watch the draft, though?
The first round, yes.
I can't
the
get it.
Yeah. Well, they move it along quicker. They've sped up the clock. There's not as much downtime. I got to see who we got so we can build for the future. This is the year for the Jets.
Just look at the list right afterwards. Or
nah, you gotta watch it live because I don't want to watch the Knicks lose as they did again. So
they did, but the Magic got absolutely demolished in the third quarter a couple days ago. So
yeah,
don't feel too bad.
They had their nice win. They'll still lose, but you know.
Hey, come on. There's still hope. Hey, going home.
Now Billy Donovan will be your next Magic coach. Hmm. Just throwing that out there. He took
I mean, he already was
24 hours exactly back in 07, 08.
Oh,
we digress. A lot going on. We're going to rip through some women's conference championships. You're all over with the the breakdown of who's done what. You go Mountain West, UNLV women taking care of business. San Jose State made a late charge. But quickly looking at your notes, Spartans. Under 500. They made it to match play a couple of years ago. Greyhawk.
They did. Correct. They did. And going to be two teams that are inside or right around the at-large Magic number, along with Cal, to finish under 500. And with UNLV winning again, what that did is it brought, and we'll talk about this conference later, but it brought Texas State, who got upset in their conference in match play, it brought them currently as the first team in. So a lot of movement. There's still, six or seven conference championships left on the docket, a couple big ones in the Big Ten and Big 12. This is going to keep shifting. But that 500 rule on the women's side has already started to make things a little bit more interesting. I don't know if I like it. But yeah. And you know what? I misspoke. How could we forget the Chickens? Under 500, South Carolina. And we have to talk about this when we talk about SEC because there's we mentioned it, we teased it last week. I've gotten more information, but yeah, let's move on.
MAAC, Quinnipiac, fifth time in 6 years, winning their conference championship, Sun Belt, Louisiana Monroe, as you said, taking down Texas State. In the team side of things, the A-10, the Richmond Spiders, second straight conference crown, 28-shot victory for them. Northern Arizona, the ladies winning the Big Sky Championship, first regional berth for them since 2022. The WAC, Tarleton State, big-time win. They were fourth after 18 holes. But now they won back-to-back conference titles. How about that? Conference USA, Western Kentucky, well done to them. Tulsa winning the American Conference Championship. Furman, the Paladins, winning the Southern Conference. Oh, played at Blythe in Blythewood, South Carolina, Columbia Country Club. I have
you played there?
Recorded a few rounds there back in the day. A little good old school course. High Point winning the Big South. Missouri Valley goes to Murray State. Cal Poly, successful there. The Big West, how about Cal Poly? They play Lahaina in Hawaii. Oh, and sign me up.
That can't be cost effective, can it?
No, but who cares? No. That's great. Ohio Valley goes to
Well, hold on, Furco. What? Cal Poly was a big upset. Cal Poly.
Breaking down what? Fullerton?
Cal State Fullerton. Cal State Fullerton's a top 50 team in the country. They're probably going to be an at-large. Cal Poly just inside the top 100 now. I think they were outside going into this conference championship. So well done. I mean, we've seen some teams from there pop the last couple of years. Long Beach State, Fullerton. Maybe Cal Poly and the fighting Sean Martins can make a surprise in a couple weeks in regionals.
Little Rock winning the Ohio Valley down there in Dalton, Georgia, the carpet capital of the world. All right, SEC.
Well, hold on. Why do they call it that?
Bob Shaw is the carpet magnate in the U.S., unless that's changed. Bob Shaw, look at most of your carpets, peel it underneath. Shaw Carpeting, and I believe that is where it all comes from in Dalton, Georgia. I say all, not all of it.
I think there used to be a college event called Capital Collegiate.
And it, you know what the trophy was? A big carpet.
No, no, was it?
100% truth. Florida locker room, I remember the carpets being thrown in there.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, a little throw rug.
Yeah, a little throw rug. Okay.
Yeah, not like wall to wall, but like a nice 5x7, you know, 1995 carpet capital champions.
I think that's a task for College Golf Book to uncover a photo of this.
Yeah, Bob Shaw. 100%. All right, SEC, a lot going on. Congrats to Tennessee. I don't believe anyone had them on their bingo card. No disrespect. We rattled off six or eight teams that we thought could win. And the Volunteers taking down Auburn in match play, 3-2 score. So they're going to head to the regionals. And then you talked about South Carolina, tied for 10th, below 500 as a 20 to 25th ranked team in the country.
Yeah, and this will be interesting, and it's all predicated on how many individuals they have qualify for a regional berth. But according to the NCAA handbook, and I'm reading this semi-verbatim, but the fourth line says, it's talking about low four scores per round from five-player teams shall be used in Division I tournaments, yada, yada, yada. It says schools are required to compete as a team if they enter four or more players in a tournament. So if they have four players in the tournament, shouldn't they therefore be required to post a team score and then could potentially qualify for count four for nationals? Or, I mean, I understand what the logical rule would be in that, you know, they're not eligible because they're under 500, so they can't qualify as a team for nationals. But it seems like a little bit of an oversight in the verbiage, and maybe South Carolina could still get through on a technicality.
Because the odds of four ever making it individually, we've ever seen that. And if you had
three twice.
Correct. And if you had four qualify on that path, well, then your team's good. Like you wouldn't have both. That's intriguing. Maybe they just don't give them four spots if the numbers add up.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the championship manual 2, page 16. Schools are required to compete as a team if they enter four or more players in a tournament using one of the approved designated formats.
Well, you know what? So, we're going to find out next week during the selection show, aren't we?
Maybe a waiver file. Hey, that would be some fun TV, because usually every year it's kind of the, you know, we do regionals, and that might be a little exciting.
How about Tennessee, though? I mean, we simply did not consider them for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a deep conference, right? And they qualified for the national championship last year. This is actually the first time in 11 years that they've that they could go back-to-back qualifying for the national championship. So Deanna Cantu has done a great job, and now her fourth season with the Lady Vols. It's just, you have so much firepower at the top of this conference with A&M and Texas and Florida. They always get overlooked, but again, you put them in any other conference and maybe they don't get overlooked. So I don't know. Are they going to make match play at the NCAA championship? They could. They were, what, 13th last year? Yeah. It's not that far away.
Coastal Conference, College of Charleston winning that. Atlantic Sun goes to North Florida. Patriot League, Navy, led by Emma Tang, who three-peats, right? Am I reading that right? Not only...
Well, no, she went back to back.
Navy as a program. Navy first three-peat in nearly a decade. Howard winning the Northeast. Marley Franklin winning the medalist honors there. ACC, Paula Martin, San Pedro, individual champ. Stanford, clean sweep, 5-0 over SMU. And now, all right, they've won a match play event, the Cardinal. They're going to be tough to beat. We're broken records. Doesn't mean they win at all. But now I feel like they can start saying, yeah, we're not just winning in stroke play. We took down a very solid SMU team and didn't let them up for air.
Yeah. And the final was 5-0. The semifinal was 4-1. So it was pretty convincing as well. I think this victory by Paula Martin San Pedro puts her in the conversation for what could be a really close Annika Award. The Haskins, I think we'd both agree that it's Jackson Coivin's to lose now, and he could even stumble a bit, probably still win that award for the second time. But on the women's side, when you look at Farrah O'Keefe, you look at Kiara Romero, Paula Martin San Pedro, rankings-wise, I think you throw Maria Jose Marine in there as well from Arkansas. Those are four players now with... You know, Paula Martin San Pedro's got two wins. One of them's a conference championship. Farrah's got three wins, but didn't win conference. Kiara not playing conference. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really close race. I mean, it's got to be one of the closest that we've had in a little bit.
Yeah, I think it likely comes down to that week at La Costa.
Because, I mean, really, the last couple years, right? Ingrid ran away a couple years ago, and she had her worst tournament of her career at the NCAA championship and still won the award. Right. Last year, Mirabel Teague with the individual wins.
It was very clear who was going to win. Not the case this go around. So that will be something to keep an eye on. UT Rio Grande Valley winning the Southland Conference. The SWAC goes to Prairie View A&M. And then we're on top of some big ones. There's still about six or eight remaining, but the Big 12, the Big 10 feel like the two that could have an impact on the Annika Award, or, you know, maybe not. But you mentioned Farrah O'Keefe and Kiara. I mean, you've got a lot of the big names playing at the Chevron, first major championship of the year, which, right or wrong, could have an impact psychologically because you threw Maria Jose Marina. Hadn't been out of the top 10, finally wins, but I think people are going to think Augusta potentially went when voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the problem you always run into, right, when players and SIDs and coaches can vote. That it's especially when you have three Player of the Year awards, it can get pretty confusing even for us. But I want to touch on Kiara just a little bit. She's currently T25 after the first round of Chevron, and if she finishes in the top 25 this week, that's two more points toward that LPGA Elite program, which would come with an LPGA Tour card after July 1st, I believe, is when she can activate it. And I think it's no surprise that she's playing this week, that this will probably be her last semester of college golf if she gets to that point. I think she'd be crazy not to, especially considering how difficult it is to get on the LPGA straight from college. There is no LPGA card like there is in the regular LPGA LCAP, so like there is for the regular PGA Tour U. So she's at 14. Let's just say she finishes top 25. That's 16. She's playing Curtis Cup this summer. She's playing Palmer Cup. That's three more between the two of those. She just has to find one more. So that's why that Player of the Year is very important. You know, there's a couple. There's the WCGA Player of the Year. There's the Anika Award. I think the Anika is 2 points, but I mean, so she's going to get to 20 before July. It's just a matter of how she's going to do it. But I don't know. That was a pretty tough decision, I think, right? I mean, you could go play a major. You miss the cut, you get nothing. Or
you could... And then you theoretically didn't do anything to help your team try to win a conference championship.
Well, that
would be difficult discussions.
Yeah, and you miss out on the opportunity to win a Big Ten and pad your resume against Farah and Maria for the Anika Award. So it was definitely a difficult decision. I don't know if either way is the wrong decision. Look, Oregon's going to be fine. Like they can, I don't know if they'll win Big Tens without her, but they could finish second. And I don't know. I think everyone's on board with that.
Other news from the men's side, Stanford Cardinal off to a good start in the ACCs, but maybe not the full complement. What do we know?
Well, I don't remember the last time this has happened, at least with a big program, but yeah, TK, and I'm going to butcher the name, but Chantananawat, he was top 60 amateur in the world when he signed a couple of years ago with the Cardinal. If you remember, he played that first live event, or maybe the first couple of live events prior to that USAM in 2022. I remember talking to him there about it. But yeah, what was told to me is a violation of team rules. And despite being the fourth highest ranked player on the team, he's gone. Now, from what I've heard off the record, it's nothing illegal. You know, we're not talking about anything that's super, super bad. But no, you've got rules. Then you have standards there, especially there with that program and that university. But Stanford will be all right. They're up 10 shots after the first round of ACC. So they've been trending. Both of their wins this year have come in the spring. And I think they'll be okay.
SECs, what a leaderboard. Scores are extremely low. Jackson Koivin leading by 2. Going into what this is the final round of stroke play, an individual champ crowned, but then we'll make the pivot to match play. And kind of who you would expect in that, you know, top half, Mississippi State, probably the big surprise. And then Vandy, work to do. Gosh, I was so bullish on Vandy 4-6 weeks ago. I'm losing my luster for him right now.
Well, how about the team in 14th? LSU. We've already had a sub made.
You're right.
Hudson Lawson, who's the freshman who Jake Amos, the coach, you know, thought could contribute by the end of the year. He kind of had that run earlier in the spring around the Hate where he was playing some really good golf. He subbed out for this final round. That would be a big one. Look, Vandy's been... They've had the question mark around them for the better part of the last 2 to 3 months. LSU, I think, was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were my preseason pick to win it all. So
I believe so, because I thought, you know, hey,
we're in trouble.
One seed that didn't get through regionals. You thought that was going to
be the storyline. And
yeah,
I mean, they have a lot of work to do. They are 11 back with one round to play. But, you know, haven't happened now. Better to happen now than in 3 weeks.
Who did we pick last week? Or did we make a pick for the SEC men?
I'll tell you who I didn't pick, Ole Miss, but they've been playing great. They've been playing great. I think I picked... I might have picked LSU.
Oh, yeah, I thought you might have said Texas.
Did I say Texas?
I can't remember anymore. But Auburn...
You said
now,
Auburn.
Yeah, a month ago, we're thinking Virginia's the team, and I'm not saying they're not. Auburn, led by Koivin, if it starts tomorrow, that would be my pick.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely on the fast track to being the top overall seed at La Costa going into match play, because if Jackson Koivin's going to win tournaments by 2, 3, 4 shots, Like that's a great head start, and you don't need much else behind that. And Jake Albert's not even playing well. So, yeah, I like them. One more shout out too, conference wise. We got a few on the men's side that have finished, but Florida Gulf Coast, first ever A-Sun title. Andrew Dana and his team, they've been an at-large a couple times over the last few years, but this is the first time they get that AQ. So they've been on the bubble every year. That's kind of been the story there down in Estero, down in Florida. But now they don't have to sweat it. They're in.
What else do we need to know? Well, we ripped through it. You've got a busy day out there at, what is it, TPC Louisiana?
It is. It's a Pete Dye, too.
Of course. It's a good little haul. You staying downtown?
I am staying downtown. The food is quite good. Went to Pascal's Manali, which is not downtown, but a little outside of downtown, home of the barbecue shrimp. Went to Domenico, which is an Italian restaurant. Not quite to Canal, but between Canal and Poydras, probably about a block or two north of Bourbon Street. But yeah, I try to avoid. I haven't been on Bourbon Street. I don't plan to go on Bourbon Street. And
it's a pro move. We're not in our 20s anymore.
Well, even in my 20s, I might not have wanted to sign up for that. But yeah, no, I got my Tylenol, my vitamin D, my Mucinex, my Claritin. And yeah, wish me luck over the next 3 days.
Who else is part of the broadcast team with you there this week?
George Savarikas.
Mm-hmm.
We have Brendan DeJong in the analyst chair.
Love it.
And then some of our familiar faces. Jimmy G is going to be on the women's selection show in a few days. And Billy Ray Brown, who is going to be out at NCAA Men like he always is. Hopefully with all of his teeth this time.
Mm-hmm. Who else is calling? Who's in there with George and Brendan?
You're putting me on the spot, Berko.
That's
I think
right.
It's is it Kutcher? Is that right?
Is it Justin?
Justin, right. It is Justin. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't know how to pronounce. I didn't know if it was it Kutcher or was it Kutcher. But I think it's Kutcher,
you'll
right?
Figure it out. Yes. Hang out with Billy Ray Brown. He's dialed into the meals in New Orleans when I was there a few years ago. What is Desi's the famous one of the places there? Is that the name of it?
It would be news to me if it was. I will leave you on this. And I'm not going to call out this sports bar by name. But, you know, potentially, I don't know if it's just a one-off or if it's a franchise. But, yeah, perhaps named after a famous quarterback in the NFL. Showed up, walked in. It's pretty busy. You know, the NFL draft had just started. Like, I think Mendoza was in his living room and they were talking to him. And, you know, pretty busy. But I said, do you guys have a table? And they said, no, we don't have any tables. And so usually they say, well, it'll be 10, 15, 20 minutes. We can take your number. We'll put you on a list and then we'll reach out to you. Or, you know, you can find some seats at the bar. So we go over to the bar. There's no seats. And so then we go back out. We kind of walk a block, look and see what else is out there. And we go back. And because we saw people leaving. And there's a table and it has stuff on it clean. So I go up to the lady and I said, hey, like, are we able to get that table? And she's like, well, yeah, but it's got to be clean. I said, no problem. What, how, you know, 5-10 minutes, we'll just wait here. Table kind of got half cleaned and then it got, I think, cleaned. And so we sat there and the lady was turned around. She never turned around in the hostess booth once we sat down. She was literally just like staring against the wall, like she didn't want to do customer service that day. And so finally, I just go, you know, let's just go someplace else. But yeah, it was the most bizarre hostess experience I've ever had.
Desi Vega Steakhouse. We went a few years ago. Billy Ray knows Desi Vega.
Of course,
they grew up together. Yes, so. If you hear that invite, I believe it's a Thursday or Friday play, or whenever it is.
I think it might have been last night. I heard them talking about it. I don't think I made the cut, but that's fine. I'm not one to go out. Plus, I was way behind on this conference championship, Marco. and way behind. So we got up. We got up to speed. We got caught up. And
that's what the good ones
did. Helped out with this episode.
What do we got? Women's selection show next week, 5 to 6. That sound right?
I think so.
Got it.
And men's is a little earlier. And I'll be up in Stanford for the men's. I'm going up to work.
I'm counting on you for the women's. Spearhead the team. And then the following Wednesday, 2 to 3, I believe, Eastern, uh-huh. I'll be at PGA Works, but I'll be able to jump in and share our thoughts. And next Friday's May. It's here. We say it all year long, the road to La Costa. It's May, coming up in a week. How about that?
It is May. And as soon as I get back, I have a 5 a.m. flight, by the way. Which might not have been the play. It always sounds like the play until it's not. But I get home at 10 a.m. Monday.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Yeah, this Monday. And then I get home and I'm home for a day. And then my wife goes out of town for 3 days. So I have 2 kids and hopefully not a sinus infection anymore. Yeah. But anyways, no one needs to worry about me.
5 a.m.'s always the play. Now, the pro move would have been the late Southwest flight Sunday night in the neighborhood of 8 o'clock back to Orlando.
Yeah, flights are so expensive right now. And the way that I was doing it, because I had to do the 3-way to Oklahoma City on Monday and then to New Orleans. And so I needed United for that. And it was too much work to try to go multiple carriers. And I don't normally fly United either. So status, not great.
That's what you do. We were all over the place today, but we kept you updated. We had some info. Breaking news, as always. Enjoy. Keep knocking it out of the park in New Orleans. I think we'll reconvene after the selection show. Let's let that all happen, and then Thursday.
We have Justin coming on.
Correct. Right. We sort of break it down, take 24 hours, and then say, all right, here's who we think. So we'll run it back late next week. Spring has sprung in the Midwest, 70 some odd degrees. So we're ready for that. Enjoy New Orleans. Strength in numbers. Don't walk solo. Eat great food.
No, absolutely not.
We'll do it again next week. Appreciate everyone for listening to this edition of College Golf Talk. For Brentley, I'm Burko. We will see you next time.